This is Audible.
This is Gotcha, a Western short, written by J.C. Halsey, narrated by J.C. Halsey. Just outside Vernon, Texas, 1869. I followed his trail as it led into a box canyon. Why would he trap himself in a box canyon? It was a foolish move from where I stood. I rode straight down the center, watching both sides closely for movement. I saw something on the ground a little ways ahead. I stopped Ruby, my horse, and dismounted. I walked the rest of the way, still alert to any movement. There, laying on the ground, was a hat. I squatted and looked it over. Why was it laying here? I left it laying and started back to my horse, scanning the top of the rocky cliffs. The cliffs were high and impossible to climb. Anybody wanting to get to the top would have to find another way to get there. I searched the complete area inside this fortress. There was no place anybody could hide. I was turning to go back to my horse when I felt the slug before I heard the sound of the rifle shot. It knocked me head first into the side of Ruby, scaring her, where I slid to the ground. The pain was unbearable, but I knew I couldn't stay where I was, laying here in the open like this. I mustered up all the strength I could and crawled to the side against the wall of the canyon. I'd be all right if it was the same side as the shooter. I was feeling nauseous. I swallowed, trying not to lose my lunch. Is the sun going down? Looks like it's getting dark. Couldn't be. I looked up at the sun. Must be about 1 o'clock. I shook my head, trying to clear my thoughts. I could feel warm liquid running between my shoulder blades. Well, you done got yourself in a fix now. Think. You gotta figure a way out of this. Either that or you're gonna die right here in this lonely, godforsaken place. I sat up, leaned back against the wall, scanning the other side. Wait a minute, what's that? A small hole in the side of the cliff. How high you reckon it is? Looks to be about 4 feet from the bottom. But it's gonna be useless. How am I gonna get over there without taking another slug? Maybe he's left already. If he thinks his shot killed me, he could be gone. Not but one way to find out. I stood and fell back to my knees. Now what? You ain't got enough strength to get over there. If I can get to Ruby, she could pull me over there. I fell forward onto my hands. I crawled on my hands and knees to Ruby. I grabbed the stirrup and said, "Go ahead, girl, go on. You can do it." She couldn't understand why I wasn't in the saddle. But she started slowly, then stopped. "Go ahead, girl, you can do it." She started again, hesitant, but continuing across the open ground. At least I ain't heard no more shots. He must have left. Just then, dust sprayed extremely close to my boot. I jerked my leg up close. Another shot, this time in the rear of Ruby's hooves, scaring her into going faster. She turned just as we reached the far wall, and I dropped loose from the stirrup and rolled against the wall. Another shot bounced off the wall just above my head. I scurried up and into the small hole I'd spotted from the other side. It's amazing what you can do when you're scared. 2 more shots splattered rock splinters on both sides. I slid in a little further. At least I was safe for now, but what is this? Does it go any further, or did I create my own death chamber? I reached with my hand and felt rock on both sides, but when I reached further inside, all I felt was empty space. But how far does it go? If it leads outside, I could maybe, just maybe, get away. That is, if I don't lose consciousness first. I started crawling. It was slow, but I had to keep going. I had to stop more than once to rest. The wound in my back began throbbing. I couldn't reach it because of the location. I was feeling lightheaded and felt as if I wasn't going to survive this time, but I was determined to defeat that thought. I've always heard when a person's going to die, their whole life flashes before their eyes. Do these thoughts I'm having mean this is the end for me? No, I ain't going to die. It's just because I'm in this tight, dark place that I'm having all these thoughts. I ain't going to die, not me. Think about something else. How about that time Hannah Bowers and me went skinny dipping? You know, I couldn't believe my ears when she suggested it, and then I couldn't believe my eyes when she stripped down, and I mean all the way to bare skin and jumped in that little creek. You coming in or not? She asked. She didn't have to ask but once. I shucked my clothes and I was in the water before she could ask again. I don't have to tell you what happened after I jumped in beside her, do I? Yeah, there's a memory that ain't going to be forgotten any time soon. I continued crawling through the darkness, hoping, praying there was an opening at the end of this black coffin-feeling place. What are you going to do if there ain't no opening? Can't think like that. Got to stay positive. Then what are you going to do if there is an opening? No horse? Can't walk? Don't think about that either. Worry about that when you get there. You're not going to die. Not Jim McClane. It's going to take more than an outlaw's bullet to put you in the ground. Just got to keep moving. Keep going. Is that a breeze? Do I smell fresh air? I came out into a small bowl-shaped valley and fell face down onto the hard-packed dirt. I was exhausted and weak as a kitten. I raised my head a little and spotted a small cabin about 50 yards away. Struggling to my feet, I stumbled in that direction. I fell 3 times, but I did reach the front door. Falling against it, I grabbed the knob, twisted it, and went inside. It looked like somebody lived here. Even the dirt floor was smooth, as if it had been swept recently. I spotted a bucket of water with a dipper handle sticking out of it. I pushed myself, dragging my feet, and crossed the floor. I grasped the handle, lifted it to my lips, and drank deeply. Immediately, I felt stronger as the liquid hit bottom. I slid to the floor and leaned against the wall. If I could just sit for a little while, maybe I can regain some of my strength back. I closed my eyes and let the darkness close around me. At least I'm safe now. How did I get myself into this situation? All I did was tell Bart Reynolds, the sheriff, I'd pick up his prisoner for him. The man was supposed to be shackled and described as very docile. Everything would have been fine if that had been true, but it wasn't true. Ed O'Neill was a short, squat man with little beady eyes the color of black coal and a mouth that didn't understand there's some nice words in the English language. He was one of the most belligerent men I've ever met. Even with that, everything would have been okay until we reached Vernon, a small settlement 20 miles from our destination. Somehow he worked the locks off the shackles, and here we are. I still don't know how he got the gun. He must have had help. After he hit me on the head and left me for dead, I should have let him go and reported back to the sheriff, but I didn't. I thought I could handle it myself. I was sure wrong about that. Another smart decision by the great Jim McClane. Now look at the pickle I'm in. I kept drifting in and out of consciousness, waking on occasion, not knowing where I was, but when I tried to move, it all came rushing back to me. I needed another drink of water. I struggled to my feet and dipped some water into the dipper. It sure hit the spot all right. At least I don't feel any blood running down my back. That's a good sign. I know if I could sit still long enough and rest, everything'd be okay. Wonder if there's anything to eat in here. Should be, the way the place looked, all lived in and all. There's a cupboard over there. Surely there'll be something in it. I fell back to the floor and crawled on my hands and knees again. I reached up and pulled open the cupboard door. Rows and rows of canned goods. Thankfully, they were glass jars. I couldn't have opened a tin can. I grabbed a jar of what looked like beans and opened it. I looked around for a spoon but didn't see one, so I reached in with my dirty fingers and shoveled some into my mouth. I've never tasted anything so good. I'm sure glad I found these jars of food. I turned the jar up and drank the juice left in the bottom. As I ate this marvelous makeshift meal, I could feel the strength from the nourishment surging through my body. I need to start thinking about how I'm going to get out of here. I can't stay here forever. I just need to get a little bit stronger. If I keep eating and drinking, I should be okay. What was that? I sat very still and listened, but didn't hear it again. But I know I heard something. There it is again, somebody walking, getting closer. I pulled my gun from my holster and cocked it. I watched as the doorknob twisted. The door opened and there he stood. Why he came into a room where he knew I'd probably be without his gun drawn is a mystery to me, but he did. There he stood in the open door, staring down the barrel of my .44. Gotcha, I said as I pulled the trigger. You've been listening to Gotcha, a Western short, written by J.C. Hulsey, narrated by J.C. Hulsey. Copyright 2015 by J.C. Hulsey. Production copyright 2016 by Outlaws Publishing, LLC. If you've enjoyed this short story by J.C. Hulsey, why not give a review on Amazon? And while you're on the Internet, why don't you check out Outlaws Publishing for some more great books? That's www.outlawspublishing.com.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.